your algorithms to find how you want to solve the problem. Once you have an algorithm running, Mathematica is trivial to debug. You just run line by line and so on. Then you can trivially translate it to C or MATLAB or Fortran, whatever you feel more comfortable with. But I think Mathematica gives this extra flexibility that for most problems, you can just deal with Mathematica. And if you want something more sophisticated, it's easy at the end to go to something more sophisticated. Yes. More questions?
Yeah,
right.
So,
Nicole, right? I think this zoom is a bit too big. Then I must be able to write almost everything. Maybe it's more efficient. Could you maybe it's better if you come to the front, no?
That's,
otherwise.
That's a bit small for back here too.
This is also small. Does someone know how to put 250? I don't know, 200 and 300. I don't know.
Really?
Yeah, it's so cool.
Does someone know how in Mac to change the zoom? Or does someone have a cordless a mouse that I can borrow? With a mouse I know how to. Can I borrow the mouse for 1 second? Then I can probably change the zoom.
Yeah.
I think if you have the mouse, you just scroll down. Let me try. I just need it for 1 second, then I'll give it back.
Do you have pinch zoom?
Sorry?
Do you have a pinch zoom on that?
On Mac? No, I don't know where it is at least. Sorry.
Usually you can pinch on the mouse pad, just to adjust it.
No, I know. For PDF, that's fine. But that's what I'm going to do with the mouse.
Is this your...
So I think if I do this...
You have more on your other account.
Exactly.
See, I've got a mix. I've got some on my Pi card and some on my It's really convenient.
Yeah, it's just have those logons on my mouse.
Yeah, it's irritating.
You could, but now you have two separate windows.
Why don't I have so many names?
Sorry? Where? Oh, this one.
Yeah, why do you have three names?
Oh, because I always ask everyone's full names.
Ah. Yeah.
No. Who else uses? Do you know anyone who's full names?
Does someone know how in a Mac to change the zoom of Mathematica?
You could zoom in the screen by pressing Command plus.
Yeah, zoom the screen I know, but then I will have to scroll to the sides to be around. Okay, tough luck. Very good. So I will zoom in shortly. So, but for now, just to see these big letters, I'm sure it's okay. So what I've told you so far was about the basics of Mathematica. I will put this file. I will tell the tutors to put this file online. Both this file and the clean version of this file. This now is messy because of all the examples, but I will also put a clean file online on the wiki that you can all have access to and open and play. So before we move on, let me again say some general things. So as I was telling during the break, Mathematica, it's something, it's a software that basically the most useful, the thing Mathematica is most useful for is for replacing pen and paper. When you do computational mathematics, you don't do sign mistakes, algebra becomes much faster, computations are faster, simplifications are done better. So it's something very useful to just use instead of pen and paper. Once you want to work with simple things, you can. When you want to increase the complexity of your expression, that doesn't cost you anymore, and it's extremely versatile. So, and there is a big advantage to, even if you don't use Mathematica every day, so I probably don't use it every day, but almost every day. Even if you don't, there's something very useful about knowing how to use Mathematica if you wanted to. Once your brain is hardwired in such a way that you always partially think, how would I do this on Mathematica? How would I implement it on Mathematica? You are really obliged to understanding things very well. You see, you cannot put something in a computer if you don't know very well if it's a vector or a spinner or a matrix. All the indices, what the object is, where does it live, where does it act on, Everything, all the mathematical structure must be really transparent and clean for you in your mind. There is no way you can start implementing stuff in mathematics unless you understand them very well. It's harder to solve a problem in mathematics than solving it by hand. This is a misconception that people think. People think, oh, you use mathematics very well, for you it's just shift enter. It's not true. To be able to use mathematics, you need to understand the problem better than when you do it in the paper. You need to be able to basically teach someone how to solve the problem. That's what you do when you are solving it in mathematics. You are teaching. Do this, these are the rules of the game, simplify it in this way, apply this kind of rules, and you are teaching how does it work. So I think mathematics is extremely useful for both increasing the understanding of subjects and how, what are the rules of the game, how exactly does it work, what are the underlying rules of the algebra, for not doing mistakes, for forcing yourself to understand very well what the subject is. And as a theoretical physics, this is, Mathematica is often our laboratory, where you compute stuff, where you compute more and more complicated examples, look for patterns, try to identify hidden structures that normally you would have to suffer hours and hours to try to identify. So I will now solve some problem in Mathematica. Let me start a new notebook. And I will put some style sheet. Maybe let's keep the same natural color. And maybe now, since we only have like 1 hour, I have a proposal and you tell me what you prefer. I will propose that I type and you just observe. And then I put a notebook online. This way you can focus on trying to understand, and then I'll put the notebook on and you don't need to rush into typing. And right now you can just focus on understanding the syntax. Or would you rather that I do it slowly and you also type? What do you prefer? Sorry? Does someone have any preference? First option. Okay, so I will type and then put the notebook online, or the notebooks online. I have several problems. Let's see how many we can do. These ones? It should be. So who knows what gamma matrices are? Okay, ba-ba-ba-ba-ba. It's probably on the other side. Is this good? Okay. Ah, but now I want to write in the blackboard, so. So lecture. Very good. So gamma matrices are matrices that appear when you deal with fermions, with electrons, protons, whatever. When you deal with fermions, there are some matrices that appear whose algebra is very useful. And these are what are called gamma matrices. So gamma matrices, they obey the following algebra. The anticommutator of two gamma matrices, gamma AB, is 2 times the metric. Let's suppose we are Euclidean, the metric is delta AB. It's 1 if A is equal to B, 0 otherwise. And by this anticommutator, we mean gamma A times gamma B plus gamma B times gamma A. And we use convention that repeated indices are summed. So of course, when we have delta AB, delta BC, this is just delta AC. When we have delta AA, this is the dimension of space-time, dim. Okay? So these are the rules of the game. So there are some algebras. When we deal with fermions interacting, roughly whenever fermions interact, you have to insert some of these matrices. And then you have to deal with all this algebra of gamma matrices to study scattering amplitudes of fermions or processes where fermions interact. Okay, so you have to trust me on this, and you will learn in quantum field theory that these matrices are quite important. So suppose now we have some object. Let's see. We will have something like gamma D, gamma A, gamma C, gamma B, gamma D, gamma C, gamma A. And you want to ask, what is this equal to? Okay? This is a problem that you might have. So as you see, everything is conceptually clear. You have some rules of the game. How do you change the order of two matrices? You pay this factor delta AB if A is equal to B. Otherwise, you can just swap them and pay a minus sign. And now you want to compute this bracket, this quantity. Yes? No. No, you cannot.
Then no, in the expression, you cannot have three ideas.
Of course. No, yes, I know. You cannot. So what I did some type. I want the first one to be a D. Okay. Good.
Yeah. Is the bracket also the Minkowski metric, not the...
This delta AB?
Yeah.
It can be the Minkowski metric. Then I would have to put some indices up, some indices down. But whenever you have two indices, you know one of them is up, the other is down. It doesn't matter who, so it's implicit. So there's no problem with that. Otherwise, I can just work in Euclidean, and then it's just R to the D.
Okay?
So if this comment was a bit cryptic, you can ask me at the end. But everything I'm saying, you can replace by eta and think in terms of Minkowskian, and everything, literally everything will be the same. There are no factors. Maybe you are thinking of factors like D minus 1 and stuff like that because of minus signs. They are not there. Okay? I can explain at the end if you are worried about it. So what is this quantity equal to? So you see, here is an example. If you want to compute this, if you don't use Mathematica, if you are just learning this, you can think, okay, now I just use this algebra to compute any quantity I want. And you think you understood. But then when it really comes to computing, then you must really think so. But in practice, how will I really do it? How will I compute some scalar product? How will I compute some product of gamma? What's the rule of the game? So how do you start now using this algebra? Very good. So let's solve this problem. So what we want to compute is gamma of A, gamma of D dot gamma. Okay. So I'm doing it, but I should explain somehow. So first I did scape G scape. This is what gives gamma. Okay? Then I want to have some dot, and there is a function which is not used, which is center dot. As I said, you can close the computer and then just watch. You will not, I don't think you will be, I think it's more useful if you just close and just watch. When you do center dot of AB, it just looks nice. It is just A dot B. This function is not used. It is just notation, just statical function. It's not like the usual dot, which is already defined. It symbolizes multiplication of matrices and so on. This is just center dot. It's an abstract object which is not defined. So if you ask, what is center dot? You say center dot displays as x dot 1. And it is just that. We are going to teach Mathematica what the rules of the game are. So we are just using this for a non-commutative product. I can, of course, not just put product of gammas. Otherwise, she will think they are numbers and stop commuting. And to enter it, we click scape dot scape. And this gives this nice dot. Okay. So we type what we want to compute. Gamma D dot gamma A dot gamma C dot gamma B dot gamma C dot gamma A. Is this what I want? 1, 2, 3, 1, 2, 3. I missed some gamma that I wanted. Okay, here. Dot gamma D dot. Now, how would you compute this? If you have to do this by hand, can someone tell me what would you do to simplify this expression? So let me repeat what the rules of the game are. If you have gamma A dot gamma B, the anti-commutator is 2. No, not 2, or 2. Maybe there is a 2. Yeah. Yeah, there is a 2. I forgot the 2 here. I know, there is a 2. It's 2 delta AB. So you have to use this rule, just this rule, to simplify this expression. What would you do? Someone. How would you do it? You just have this expression and you have
to...
Of which ones?
Like the the measure is the same indices, make them together and become B.
There's no one has the same index here. There's no consecutive ones that have the same index.
You start commuting.
You start commuting.
Yeah, yeah.
But randomly, how do I do it? How do you do it in the paper? Do you start commuting randomly, hopefully hoping that it will collapse at some point? Then you might lose 1 week. Just commuting. Yeah.
Instead of commuting, trying to put together the gammas with the same.
Okay, so that's good. So we want to bring together same indices, because then when you have the same index, we can just replace by delta AB and remove the delta AB. That seems like a good rule. That's how you would teach someone. But how do you do that? How do you now implement that in a computer? How do you teach someone that really needs a lot of help to understand? What's the next step? So that seems like a good rule in principle, but now I'm not going to tell Mathematica, start commuting until you get the indices closed. That's not how I need something more systematic. Yes?
We could run a variation of a sorting algorithm.
Right, so we can say that a way of making sure that they will meet is to say, try to order them. If we try to order, right, if they are not ordered, try to order. Then at the end, we will end up with gamma A's first, then gamma B's, then gamma C's, up to, and so on. So you see that this is an example. Just if you really think, if you have your mind always thinking, how would I do it on Mathematica? Some things that you think you understand, I just use the algebra and so on, then they really become transparent. Then you really understand when you have to do it in Mathematica. You really have to understand. An algebra, when I want to simplify an algebra, I bring it to a canonical form. That's what we are doing. We are choosing some canonical form, and deciding that a way of having, making sure that it's completely simplified is by sorting them and so on. So all these things you only gain by using Mathematica, and you only gain understanding. So okay, so this is the expression we want to simplify. And what we want to say is, if you find some gamma A dotted with some gamma B, replace it by gamma B dotted with gamma A with a minus sign plus 2 delta AB if they are not ordered, if A and B are not ordered. So if, this is how you use, this is a delayed replacement, and this means only do this delayed replacement if what I'm about to say is true. So this would be another solution to the question I had before, how do you make this replacement only if A and B are different? You could use this. Slash dot and then put A not equal to B, saying they are different. And now we are going to say, do this replacement if they are not ordered. So if it's not true that they are ordered. This is ordered Q of AB. Ask the question, are they ordered? So if you ask ordered Q of, say, AB, it says it's true. What about B and A? It says, what about B and A? It's false. So Mathematica orders and compares the ordered set with the set I gave and tells me, is this set ordered or not? So if it's not ordered, I change them. Now, this doesn't work. Why doesn't this work? Because I'm saying, identify this pattern, center dot with two arguments, goes to this. But here, I have many arguments. I have center dot with many arguments, not two. So this would work, for example, if I have gamma A dot gamma B, and then I do this replacement. Now this would work. It would change. This would always work, but I want to do replace if they are not ordered. This would work. Here they are ordered, it doesn't replace. Whereas if I have gamma D gamma A, it would replace. But this works because I'm telling her, if you have gamma, if you have a center dot with two arguments, replace. But what if there are more stuff? What if there is more stuff to the side? Well, that's simple. We just go here and say, if you have more stuff, three underscores, and then center dot, and then more stuff, just do it inside. Okay? So now it did. It went to the first two elements, which was gamma D, gamma A. There was nothing behind, but that's fine because I used three underscores. There was something to the right, that's fine, and it replaced this first block. And now what do we want to do? We want not to replace once, but to replace many times. And if we replace many times, then she did it for the first block, she did it for the second block, she did it for the third block, and we are a bit closer to what we want. Right? But it's not yet perfect, because now what we want to teach her is that this center dot operation is linear, so I can remove this plus, I can write center dot of this plus twice center dot of this. And I want to tell her that numbers can get out of center dot, minus signs and twos and so on can get out. Right? So that we have to teach. Of course, Mathematica cannot guess that center dot, Mathematica cannot guess that x dot to y, how could she guess that she can take the two out? Right? I mean, there's no way. So I want to tell her that stuff like this. So now we want to teach her that this is equal to x center dot y center dot z with a 2 outside plus x center dot w center dot z. We want to make a replacement. Once you find center dot with some expression like this, open it up. So let's define some rules. We see that we need at least a few rules, so let's define some rules. So let's copy this and let's define some rules. And this is one of the rules, okay? Now, another rule that we can teach, by the way, we can teach her, this is if they are not ordered, we can teach them if they are the same. If you have gamma A dot gamma A, okay? Gamma A dot gamma A just replaced by 2 delta A. This was the first proposal that you said, that try to bring them closer. When they are close, just replace them by gamma A. Sorry, without a 2. Right? Without a 2. So gamma A plus gamma A, that is a 2, it cancels the 2, so this is gamma A. Okay? But now we want to say that if you have something dotted with something, dotted with something. For example, if you have some gamma matrices dotted with a number, dotted with some other gamma matrices, you want to take the number out. Right? The number, you just remove it. So you want to say that this is A2, A1 dot A3, if A2 is a number. Okay. So let's try, for example, gamma A dot 5 dot gamma B. And now we apply the rules, and it just removed the 5 because 5 was a number. Okay? Now you can also say that a slightly more sophisticated one. If you have A2 times A4, remove the A2 again, but leave the A4, if A2 is a number. So what do I mean by this? I mean that if I have 5 times gamma of C, I want to remove the 5. And with this new rule, now it does, it removes the 5. If 5 is a number, if A2 is a number, remove it out. Okay? Please stop me if I'm going too fast or if something's not clear. Then we want to teach linearity. We want to say that if you have A2 plus A4, this is A1, A2, A3 plus A1, A4, A3. And here there is no if, it is just this is it. Okay? Very good. Now if we apply these rules to our expression,
for the same two arguments, you'll have the only if they're not ordered.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, this doesn't make sense. If they are equal, just replace by this. So this is good. So she started doing what it should. But now what happened is the following. We said that we end up with some expression like this, where there are some brackets here. So she doesn't know yet, because we didn't tell, that center dot is associative. So let's copy the first line and see how Mathematica thinks of it. So let's copy this and see what is the tree form of this. And this is center dot, whose arguments are center dot, and gamma. Now, what we would like to do is, when we see center dot, with center dots inside, remove the center dots inside. I don't need these brackets, right? But then, this is exactly what this function flatten does that I was telling you before. So if I use flatten on this guy, it just removes all the brackets. It tells me basically that it's associative. So another replacement that we want to do is, just to make sure, when you see center dot of something, replace it by flatten of center dot of that something. We want to add that to the rules, such that at the end she will get rid of this annoying bracket. And now, when we run our rules, there are no more brackets anymore. Okay? Sorry, let me zoom out a bit just so that we can see. So, I will zoom in again in a moment, but let's see what we have now. We have some rules which tell me, let's summarize. We said that if you find gamma A, gamma B, change the order, change them if they are not ordered. If they are the same, replace by delta. Take out numbers out, and it is linear, and it's associative. Okay? We did it, and it almost worked. What is the next step that we have to do? Can someone tell me what we have to do? What did she not know that she should know?
Define delta.
But even before defining delta, what else? There's something else that she could have done here. For example, let's see here. What does it mean? You have delta dot gamma dot delta dot delta. But what is delta? This delta is just a number times the identity, right? So when I say gamma A, gamma B is delta IB, of course, this is matrix, there is an identity. Of course, this is implicit, right? So whenever you have a delta, you can remove it. It's like delta is also a number. So I want to remove not only 5s and 2 and 4s, which she did. There are a lot of 2s and 4s and minus 4s and so on here outside. That's great. But I want to remove these deltas out. Right? I don't want deltas there. So delta is also a number. So we have to tell that delta of something is also a number. But then we need our own function, number. So number q, if I ask, is pi a number? Wow, no? It's probably numeric q. Yeah, I should have used numeric. This also works, but for... So is pi a numerical number? Yes. Is 3, is 4 numeric? Yes. Is delta AB numeric? No. Okay, good. So we will do our own numex. And we will say numex of something which is numeric is equal to true. So if I have num q of pi, it's true. Num q of 5, it's true. But I will tell more. Num q of some delta with two arguments, it's also true. So now num q of delta AB, it's also true. And I will say that num q of everything else is equal to false. Now you might be very worried about this. How come does she know? The last one contradicts the next to the last one. This is more general. I'm saying num q of anything is equal to false. But the way Mathematica thinks, if we ask, what do you know about num q, she gives me a list of three things. And this is, she always starts with what she thinks is more specific and goes to what she thinks is more general. And she always starts checking the ones first in the list. So first she will check if it's numeric, then if it's delta of something, and only when these two are not satisfied, she will go to everything else and say that it is false. Okay?
Why do you have as the argument in your definition of num q underscore question mark numeric?
I can put some, okay, let's do it a bit less fancy. We can put this. This doesn't change anything.
I associate a question mark before the name of a function with calling a help for that function. So why is the question mark?
Okay, very good. So here, so you can ask, so when you use something underscore means, if you want to say, for example, f of x, which is numeric, okay, give numeric of x, and f of x, which is not numeric, otherwise give x squared. So when you have an underscore after, when you have a question mark after an underscore, means f of something that obeys some condition, for example, that is numeric. So if I define this function, for example, what it would do is, if I run f of pi, it gives 3 points. If I run f of y, it gives y squared. Kind of a dangerous function, as you imagine, right? You define f of y, then you replace y by pi, and it's not 3.4. Okay, but this is possible. So this means what it means. It means f of x, which obeys this condition. Okay, so we defined our own num q. Okay? And now that we define our own numerics, let me erase this, put it here. Instead of this numeric, we use our own num q. Okay. And now when we use the rules, okay, simplify and then let me expand. She did exactly what she could have done. So at the end there is some center dot, which is a bit funny. There is center dot, but now of a single gamma matrix. If you see, there's no product anymore. Okay? So at the very end, because she doesn't know that center dot of a single element is just a single element, she gave this. So we can apply all the rules and then say center dot of gamma of A is just gamma of A. Okay? So we managed to simplify all this algebra. Now we only have a single gamma instead of product of gamma. But now we have many delta AVs that we have to teach what it is, as someone was saying. Okay? So now we have to teach how to deal with this delta. So what do you want to do? For example, here there are still some products of gammas. Right? So here there are still some products. So what's the next step? We have to teach this algebra of this delta, right? So what are the rules? How do you teach someone how to simplify this expression? Again, this is another example where if you want to do it in mathematics, you must really understand, not just. So how would you do? How would you deal with this? How would you simplify this second term, for example? So you would say that C and C can be identified. So I can replace these two guys by delta AB. Then this guy and this guy, the A can be identified. I can replace them by delta BD. And then delta BD, the D can be replaced. And here I can end up with gamma B. So that term is just 8 gamma B. Okay? So how are we going to implement this in general now? How are we going to implement? So now we want to implement this delta function. So there's something we can do already. So you see that there is here, for example, some gamma CC. Gamma CC is what? Delta CC. What is delta CC? Dimension, right? Dimension of spacetime, as we were saying. So when you find delta of CC, of two arguments which are the same, you can replace by dimension. We can also teach her, by the way, that if you find CD square, what is it replaced by? Mama? What's your name? Jinji. As Jinji was saying, again by dimension, because what is this? Delta CD, delta CD. You contract one of the indices to get delta CC, and delta CC is dimension. So this is also dimension. So we can, these two rules should help a bit. So you see there are already some dimensions appearing here. There were already some deltas with repeated indices apparently. So some dimensions are already appearing here. Now we still need to simplify this kind of these ones, which have different indices. And we have to tell that when you have some index like this, you can replace A by D. So how do you teach this to mathematics? So this is the only non-trivial replacement. You have to say delta of A1 comma A2 times something A3 goes to. So what do you propose? How would you teach someone to simplify all these expressions which contain deltas? You would say, if you have delta, if you have some expression with delta, so can someone answer this question? So what's the canonical form of explaining how to simplify this tensor algebra when you have this delta ages? So we want to say that we have some delta AB times, say, some quantity V, which has many indices, but that has a B. We want to replace this by V with A. Right? Is this clear? Yes? Everyone is familiar with double index notation, right? With special relativity, so some double index and so on. So how do you implement this in mathematics? You can say this is delta AB. This is what I call this some quantity, A3, something. And now I want to replace this by something where I replace the B by the A. Right? But how do you know if it's B replaced by A or A replaced by B? Right? Notice that it's different. I cannot replace A by B. And this is not equal to V B. Right? Doing this would be a big mistake. So how do I know? Who do I replace? Right? So I don't want to do A goes to B. This is wrong. But how do I know? This guy is a symmetric function. How do I know if I should do B go to A or A go to B? This is not a mathematical question, it's an algebra question. How do you teach someone who is going to do the computation? You are going to teach someone. When you find delta AB times something, in that something replace. And how do you teach which replacement to do?
Just find which index isn't repeated.
Sorry?
Just find which index isn't repeated.
Is not. Which find the index that replace B by A if A is not there. Right? If A is the one that is not there. Right? That's the rule. Is it clear? So you replace B by A because A is not there. That's what we have to teach. We have to teach replace B by A if A is not there. So now we say this goes to, it's a delayed replacement. And now we have to do some game with brackets. We have to say, we put a bracket, A3, where A2 goes to A1. You see, it's a replacement inside the replacement, goes to this. Okay? But do this replacement if it's not true, if A3 does not contain A1. So free Q means if it's free or not. So if it is not free, sorry. If it's not, it's this one. So this means that it contains. So if A3 contains A1, so in this case, it contains the index B, replace B by A. So if it contains the index A1, replace A1 by A2. Okay? So this means if A1 is there, replace A1 by A2. And delta A1, A2 is the same as delta is 2a1. So it's nice to tell Mathematica that delta is a symmetric function. And that we can do very easily. We just say attributes of delta is orderless. Okay. So this tells us that delta of BA for Mathematica is the same as delta of AB. Because I taught her that delta was an orderless function. Now that she knows that it's orderless, I don't have to worry with A2, A1, teaching her that it's the same as A1, A2, because she knows. And this is all I need. So here is the result of all these manipulations of gamma matrices. If I would do all these manipulations, gamma B was the only free index, so of course it should be something proportional to gamma B. But then you'll have to find this number that would probably take you a few hours if you were to do it by hand, just commuting these gammas and so on. And after a few hours, you would have fact signs wrong. Okay. And here, there was a big advantage. Let me zoom out, sorry. There was a big advantage in doing Mathematica, or lots of advantages in doing it in Mathematica. First, and most important, we understood everything there is to understand about this gamma matrix. We understood their algebra. We understood how should we manipulate it. How can we find a canonical form such that we can for sure simplify these expressions to the most. We made sure we understood everything about these tensor manipulations and how to get rid of these indices and what are the rules of the game. So it was not easier to do it in Mathematica than to do it by hand. To do it by hand, it would be very simple. You could just do it. It would be painful, you would suffer a lot, it would probably take longer because you would not think of the most canonical way, but you would eventually do it. It is straightforward, there's nothing to think much about. You see this A here, you try to bring it together. You say this A wants to go there, and you start commuting many times and so on. Of course you would do it. It's a triviality. It's harder to do it in Mathematica, but in Mathematica you learned everything. Now you feel you understand everything. You did not deal with matrices, you saw that this algebra of gamma matrices, it's irrelevant to have explicit expressions for the gamma matrices. All we need to know is the algebra. We can work in general dimensions. It doesn't make any difference. And we don't do mistakes. And it's faster. And now, next time, we want to do some other example, which involves, say, simplifying some algebra. We have some algebra. Whatever algebra it is. You see, it will be pretty much along these lines. You will often want to teach that some operation is linear. But then, okay, once you know how to do it once, you just repeat. It looks a bit hard because many of these things are totally new. But then when we will have to deal with some other algebra, some SUN algebra or something in particle physics, or some algebra of oscillators, of some harmonic oscillator, and you want to manipulate A's and A daggers, which are not commuting and so on, exactly the same kind of rules. You would say A's want to go to the left, A daggers want to go to the right, and so on, and just apply some rules down. If you find an A and an A dagger, commute the two, and so on, until they hit the vacuum, and so on. And you would use exactly the same kind of logic, exactly the same kind of rules, to simplify this expression. So, and you see, at the end of the day, this is a clean code. It's a short code with some simple rules. These are the rules we need to know, and this is what it is. It also teaches you, it also makes you more aware of everything, from the high-level rules such as this one to the low-level rules that we even forget about this associativity and so on. You really have to understand all the details. It often makes you think, could it be that some of these rules don't hold, and could I modify some of these rules? And it also is a very useful source of insight. Any question about this example? Yes.
Assuming delta was anti-symmetric, what would we have there?
Sorry?
Assuming we have a tensor that is anti-symmetric.
Symmetric. Delta was symmetric. If we assumed it was anti-symmetric?
Yes.
Let me first think for 1 second. No, it could not be anti-symmetric.
No, I know. In this case, no. Assuming I'm dealing with a tensor that is anti-symmetric.
Right.
So how do I set the attributes?
You cannot set the attributes to be anti-symmetric, but you can have a replacement rule that delta of AB goes to minus delta of BA if they are not ordered. So you can again choose the canonical order. Say, because it's anti-symmetric, I always choose the first index to appear first in alphabetic order.
Yeah.
And then I put a minus sign if they are not ordered. And then you always bring it to canonical form, and then you would use the root. Okay. Very good. So this is one example. So this would be algebra of gamma matrices. And if we have 10 more minutes, let me do another example. This one is kind of non-trivial. Okay, let's do something to manipulate some lists and to relax a bit. Let's do something also very useful. Let's do a deck of cards. Okay, let's learn how to play poker. So, we want to make a deck of cards, and we want to be able to shuffle, to take cards and so on out of this deck. Okay? So we want to make a deck of cards. So let's start, and we say, we have a two of hearts, we have a three of hearts, we have, I'm joking. This is not how I'm going to do. This is too painful. So first, I want to generate the 52 cards in a fast way. I don't want to spend 10 minutes just writing what the cards are. So here is how you can do it. Okay? Here is how you can do it. You can say that, well, there is an ace. After the ace, there is 2 up to 10. There is all the 2s up to 10. When you write this function, this gives a list, 2 up to 10. After this guy, there is the jacks, then the queen, and then the king. Okay? Now, this is almost perfect, so it was indeed fast, except that I have this annoying bracket here and there. So what do you propose to get rid of it?
Flatten.
Okay, so we can flatten this guy. Now, I want to say that I have hearts applied to each of them. And I have ace of hearts, two of hearts, three of hearts, four of hearts, and so on. Okay? So this is good. And now I could do the same for spades. And I have ace of spades, two of spades, and so on. And I would do it 4 times, and then make a list, and then flatten, and so on. But that's, again, too slow. So again, let's do it in a fancy way. Let's say that we want to do this. We want to do this. We put here. I will tell you now what I'm going to put here. I want to put here either hearts or spades or diamonds or clubs. So let's see what this was. So I said that I define a function, I finished definition here. Let's see what this function is. It's a function that once you give the argument of the function, it applies that argument to each of the guys here. Right? And then I said, okay, what is the argument? Well, apply it, and the argument is hearts, spades, diamonds, and clubs. All of them. And then it just applied this function that asks for what the argument is and gave me all this. And then I flatten to get rid of the bracket. Okay? This is my deck. Now I have 52 cards which are ordered, all the hearts, all the spades, all the diamonds, all the clubs. Now this doesn't look very nice. So what we can do is we go to palette, writing assistant or something, I don't know. Yeah. Then there is a symbol here, I don't know if you can see. It's a light bulb for brilliant ideas. And it apparently is not here. So all special symbols and characters. And then symbols. Brilliant ideas here. And we find here some nice symbols. So there are some hearts, some clubs, some diamonds, and some spades. Very good. So now we can define hearts to be equal to this symbol, but red and large, as hearts should be. We can define clubs to be this symbol, just large. We can define hard, we can define diamonds to be this symbol, but red and large, and we can define spades to be just this symbol and large. And I don't want to see the output. Yes?
Would you remind me of the difference between using just the at sign to distribute and using the slash at?
Yes, 1 second. Now, when I run this, I get a nice deck. So this is how you could make a nice deck with all the 52 cards in a fast way. And now let me tell about what's the difference between this slash at that we use twice here and just at. So again, let's take this list here, right? And if I say hearts applied to this, it means hearts as a function, it's the function heart, applied to the list. It's fine, the argument is the list. I apply to whatever is to the right. But that's not what I want to do. I want to distribute to apply to ace, to two, to three. Right? So that's the difference. One is take whatever is next. It's a list, the argument. Whereas if I have this, it's a distribution. I distribute over the output. So is this example clear? So this means hearts, and you can put a bracket here and close the bracket here. It means a function of this list. Here it means take this list and put hearts at each first level, and then you get a list of hearts applied to the numbers. Yes? Nicole, is it okay?
Yeah, good. Thanks.
Okay, so this is our deck. Okay, so we made the deck, so we call it deck. That's a good name for a deck. And now we want to shuffle our deck. We want a function that shuffles. So what's a function that shuffles? Well, we can say random sample that randomizes deck. Of course, you would never know that random sample randomizes a deck. How would you ever know? But how would you find what you need? Well, it's easy. Well, you can imagine that random should be some function that should exist. So you will go to random, go to help, go to the bottom, look at the C also, and start exploring until you find the one you want. So it's always like that. This is how you learn. You start with some notebook and you try to do something. Let's see how many steps we would have to do. So if I would go to the help of random, so I select random, I go to help. I have block random, find instance, okay, not many. Block random, now I have some more here, and random sample is here at the end. You see? So in two steps, we got to the one we wanted, if we didn't know it existed. Okay. So we make random sample of a deck, and once we shuffle, so we can shuffle several times, shuffle again, we don't get tired, it's very good. So we can shuffle our deck, and once it's shuffled, we say this is now the shuffled deck. Okay? Of course, I don't want to see the deck, the shuffle deck, otherwise I'm cheating, right? So I want to put a semicolon at the end. So this shuffles, but doesn't show me what it is. Defines the shuffle deck, but doesn't show me the output. Now, I want my shuffle to be this. When I run shuffle, so this is a delayed operation. Once I run shuffle, it will do what is after this. And what does it do? It defines shuffle deck to be the shuffle deck. Okay? So now, if I do shuffle, it's shuffled, and I ask, what is the shuffle deck? And it gives me some deck. I can shuffle again and ask, what is the deck? And it changed. Okay? So this is how you would shuffle. Now you want to take cards. Take the first 10 cards. N is an integer. And what do we do? We do the following. What we want to do is to, first we can say that the shuffle deck will now become what was before the shuffle deck, except that we drop the last 10 cards because we took them out. This is something we will want to do. Okay? So once we take, one thing we will do for sure is remove the first 10 cards from the deck so that they have less and less cards in the pile. Okay? But before that, what we want to do is the following. We define a block, uses some auxiliary variables. Temp is a variable that will be defined now. I don't want to call it outside, otherwise it will be garbage. And I say, from the shuffle deck, remember, take element 1 up to n. Remember, this was taking elements from a list. So take those elements. Then drop the n elements. And then give me this temp. So, well, let me not do it with a block so that it is simpler for you to understand. So I put a parenthesis here, it will define some temp, it's not a problem. Sorry, I'm doing it slower. So this is what this is. It first defines something temporary, so I take the cards, I don't watch them, I don't see what they are. From my deck now I remove those cards, they are not there, and then I take them. Yeah, does it make sense? So if I just remove them first, then I don't know what they were. Okay, so I define them, then I remove them, and I show what they are. Okay, very good. So this is what take n is. And now say we can play. Now we have all it takes to play poker. So we shuffle first, and then we can make a table. We can put say player one. And what we can do is we take two cards. And then we are making a matrix, remember, and then we do player two. And we take the next two cards. And we want to see it in a nice form, we can have table form. Here it is. So player one, it was shuffled, we took two cards, we got the eight of hearts and the eight of clubs, so it's a pair, it's very good. And this is a three and a five, it's nothing. So of course player one would bet, and then we would ask to see what the cards are. We take three cards, and the next three cards would be this, so player one does win. Right? It has a pair. And now we can ask, what's the deck after all this? Well, the deck is a bit smaller. If you ask what's the length of the deck, it's 45, and it makes sense, because 45 plus 3 plus 2 plus 2 gives 52, which is the total number of cards. And we remove 2 plus 2 plus 3. Okay, very good. So we can try another one. And player 2 would win. Yeah. With a 3 and a king, that's it. Okay, so these are two examples of how we can use Mathematica. The second example showing intensively how to manipulate lists and this distribute and so on. And the first, how to use algebra of gamma matrices. But basically, you can do whatever you want to do with Mathematica. Whatever you can do by hand, you can also do with Mathematica. And you can do with Mathematica things that you can hardly do by hand. Now, as I said, so what I did last year was I was giving lectures on Mathematica every day. So the first day I basically did a bit less than I did today. Today I was a bit faster because I wanted to teach you the basics of grammar. And then every day I was solving a different example. So this year I want to try something else. Basically, I taught you the very basics. With what you have no excuse not to learn how to use Mathematica. Now you already have some examples that you can start modifying, generalizing, playing with. And now if you want more examples, so first of all, I will put some another example that I had prepared on the web, so you can have a look at the notebook that I will put there, which will contain everything we did in this morning, plus some more. But there is a website which is called the Mathematica Summer School for Theoretical Physics. You can just Google and you will find it. So if I have internet, I can show you. So let's see. So if you just Google Mathematica Summer School, there is a website. I mean, for me it appears as first, I don't know if for you it appears as first as well, which we created, which is a school on Mathematica that I co-organized with Nikolai Gromov every year in the summer. And during a week, we teach the basics of Mathematica, as I taught you in the first lecture, and then we solve many problems. And you have here material from the third edition, material from the second edition, material from the first edition. And in all these editions, you have simple and or complicated exercise. If you click here, you have, for example, day one and two exercises about tools. You click and you have some examples. In this case, you don't know what this is. This is too advanced, sorry. So it's always better to go to the first days, otherwise it will probably be a bit advanced. So basic basics of mathematics, for example. This one should be okay. So you say this tells you how to enter square roots. It has some simple exercises, for example. So here's, for example, some problem. If you have how to use replacements to transform this maple syrup into maple syrup. Of course, you can use flatten, but how would you do it with patterns, with a slash dot A, bracket break, and so on. So you have plenty of exercises here. So do practice. Practice with these exercises that you find in the school. You can ask tutors for exercises of the previous year, or just try to solve problems that you wanted to solve, and now you think that with mathematics you should be able to. And I don't know if you have any suggestions, but maybe next Friday let's have a question and answer where you can ask me stuff about any of these problems, or about stuff that you want to solve, or about questions that you had while trying to play with the Mathematica tutorials, and things that you wanted to know how to do, and let's have it more interactive, and I will just answer whatever questions you have. So do prepare during this week. Again, I think it's a great investment that if you spend some time learning Mathematica, you will recover this time multiplied by a huge factor. It's really a very, very valuable tool that will make you much more powerful. So that's it. So if you have no questions, let's meet again on Friday. If you have questions, let me know. Yes?
Can we add a different probability distribution to the problem?
Sorry?
Can we add a different probability distribution to the truffle?
Yes.
If you want to fail,
yes, you can. So again, you would go to random, and you can browse in the help and find how would you do that. It's possible. Or you can do your own random.
Yeah.
Are there more questions?
I think a lot of people do that. That's just standard.